Well, January 1st is the first day of 2017. So now, as I'm sure that you have had time to prepare all of your list of resolutions, all the things that you're going to change, all the things that you're going to do better, when we come to a new time of the year, that's what we think. We think if I'm going to exercise more, right, or I'm not going to eat so much barbecue, as I did last year, as I did this week. There's different things that we, you know, as a new year comes and we have time to reflect and to think about the things that we want to do differently or we can do differently. We want to live in a better way. And so as I think about January 1st, and I love the start, it's like sort of the start of a new week. You have a fresh week, but a new year is a new year. Think of what the Lord will do in that year and things that you can reflect upon and say, I'm going to try to do this, and you make these different resolutions. So to begin the new year, I thought we'd go to a text that tells us of a better way to live. So take your Bibles and turn to the beginning of the Psalter, to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 and 2 open up the Psalter for us, the hymn book of ancient Israel, and it really kind of stands as a guard to the Psalter, and it wants to, before it lets us into this sacred hymn book, wants to tell us some very important realities. And so let me just read the text for you, and we will take a look at what God says to us through His Word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So Psalm 1 and 2 stand at the guard at the very beginning of the Psalter, and before we enter it, it wants to break people down in this world into two categories. Two categories. You've heard them in this psalm, and you're very familiar with them as a reading of the Old Testament. You hear of the righteous and the wicked. And I want to give you a little explanation of that, because if you've read the Bible and you've sat under Bible teaching, you would know that there is no one who is righteous, that there is no one who does good. And yet the Bible often talks about these who are in this category of righteous, and then talk about those who are in this category of the wicked or the ungodly. And so we're speaking in terms of covenant terms with Israel. And so when the Bible, when the Psalter uses this term righteous, it's a reference to those within the covenant who truly trust and truly love the God who has made the covenant with them. And then there are those who are wicked, those outside of the covenant, outside of a relationship with the only true God. And these categories can be mixed, even within ethnic Israel. Because if you think about national Israel, not all of national Israel was in this category of the righteous. Not all of national Israel believed God, embraced their covenant responsibilities. Not all of national Israel truly trusted in Yahweh and truly delighted in Him. You think about the wilderness generation, a generation of people who were in rebellion against the true God. But this text wants to open for us two ways to live, and it's going to do that by talking about the righteous, or we could say the believer, the person who trusts in the God of the Bible, who loves God, who seeks to obey Him, and it's contrasted to the ungodly. And we're going to see this broken up into three different sections. Or basically, the psalm breaks up very easily into two verse sections. In the very first two verses, the psalmist tells us the delight of the believer. The delight of the believer. So someone who embraces their covenant responsibilities, who embraces this true relationship with God, who trusts in God, what do they delight in? Or we might even say, what directs them? Because this text is about direction, and it talks about a man, or it could be a woman, but this passage is using this word for the male gender, a man. Blessed is the man. Now, when we think of that in the Scripture, we've seen this other places, right? I think Pastor has been going through Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. You've talked about what it means to be blessed, to be in that joyful, spiritual condition of those who are right with God and the pleasure and satisfaction that is derived from that. We could say, this is the supreme state of well-being. Don't you want to be in that supreme state of well-being? We could say it, God's favor. Right? There's all sorts of things, if we could look up on the internet, of how to live better, how to live a healthier life, a better life. And Psalm 1 wants to tell us how to live a better life. And it has everything to do with our trust and reliance upon the God of the Scriptures. And this person, this man, this righteous man, as it's characterized here, the one who is justified on the basis of faith, and counted righteous there, but also because of the implications of his faith, lives a life of rightness. He seeks to obey and to follow God's word. He does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So this is the psalmist states this negatively. He doesn't walk, which, of course, in our biblical language, we understand the Scripture. When it talks about walking, it's talking about a pattern of life. He doesn't walk according to the counsel of the wicked. And so this is about who we listen to. The counsel of the ungodly. Usually you have a decision, you're walking along the path. We use this metaphor here. You have one way to go and another way to go. And somebody there next to you, and you ask them for your counsel, for their counsel. Say, which way should I go? And this person gives you some directions and you take that path. So this text has everything to do with direction, with who we listen to. And the blessed man, the person who is in a supreme state of well-being, does not listen, does not live their life according to the counsel or according to the direction of the wicked. And that wicked category, as we said earlier, is that those people who fall outside of the covenant, or those people who have no covenant relationship with God, who do not trust in God, who do not trust in His Son. And there is all kinds of counsel that you can get from these people. And they may be nice people. Remember, I think of this thing, you've perhaps heard of it, the internet. Right? That big cloud of knowledge in the sky. And there's all sorts of information that you can get from the internet. And people can give you an instruction, but as far as instructing us, those who trust in God and how to live, how do we live? We don't take our instruction from those who do not love God, but we take our instruction from God Himself. And there's a progression here in this text. Those who might walk in the counsel begin to take and begin to listen to the voices of those who do not know God, begin to stand in the way of sinners. They begin to pause. Consideration of their way. And then, if it continues, they eventually find their seat. That is, their full participation in that of scoffers. That is, they sit and are fully participants with those who do not love God. But the person who is in supreme state of well-being, who loves and trusts God, they don't sit, they don't listen to those voices. That's contrasted with what they delight in. Verse 2. They delight in the law or the instruction of the Lord. And on His law He meditates day and night. And so at the beginning of verse 1, we saw this is about instruction. This is about who we listen to. Verse 2 tells us this is about what we love, what we delight in. And the person who trusts in God, who trusts in His Son, Jesus Christ, delights in the law or the instruction of the Lord. And of course, this word law could mean various things. It could refer just to the Ten Commandments in certain contexts. It could refer to the entirety of the Old Testament. And I think, again, in this context, it refers to the revelation of God. The person who loves God delights to know God and to know Him and to listen to Him. And this is the kind of delight that flows into his life and comes out in meditation. This is an interesting word. It's sort of like a word that has implications of even muttering something out loud. You know, if somebody is really consumed about something, you can hear them talking. Just talking about it. Your pastor is a prime example of this. I can remember times growing up working on projects, and my dad would be talking to himself about projects. And I think, who is he talking to? Well, he's just so absorbed with this thing in his mind and what he's doing that he's talking about. He's meditating on it. It's coming out day and night. Again, that's as Pastor mentioned earlier this morning in Sunday school, that's a merism, day and night. He's talking about a totality, a consuming delight, a consuming reverence for God's revelation of Himself. This person who is in a supreme state of well-being is one who trusts in God, who delights in the revelation of Himself, and who meditates upon it. And this has implications for the pattern of life. Verses 3 and 4 tells us not only the delight of the believer, but the depiction of the believer. It gives us a picture. For this person who trusts in God, who delights in His Word, who delights in the revelation of Himself, who doesn't submit their lives to the authority of other voices, but submits their lives to the authority of God and His Word, there's a picture to describe Him. He's like a tree planted or really transplanted by streams of water. And He's fruitful. He bears its fruit in season, and its leaf doesn't wither. And all that He does, He prospers. There's a picture of the believer's life is of a tree that is richly nourished. And I think of down by the Rio Grande and those big cottonwoods that are always down by that river, that constant nourishment of water. And so what this is talking about is health internal. An internal success, an internal prosperity, not that everything will go well for you on the outside, but that internally, the person who trusts in God and who delights in Him can stand up against the storms of life. A tree that is malnourished, that perhaps is by a desert stream, and there's not water there all the seasons of the year. Eventually, that tree maybe can't bear fruit, it can't thrive. But this tree is transplanted. It has that divinely appointed nourishment for life. And that's the picture of the Word of God for the believer, is that this is your divinely appointed sustenance for life. Now, I know I have to tell you that because I assume that for one reason why you come to this church is because you love the Word of God. And you want to hear it preached, and you want to hear it explained. And you know that to be truly successful in the eyes of the Most High God is to cling to His Word. But we need to be reminded of that, don't we? Every year, or as Psalm 73 would have it, every week. Psalm 73, the psalmist is talking about the contrast of living a godly life and following a life of faith. And he's talking about how he begins to think that maybe living and trusting God is not worthwhile in this life. And then he says, as I began to contemplate that, he came into the house of God. He came into the weekly gathering of God's people. And then his thoughts were realigned, and he realized that the closeness of God was his good. So that's what Psalm 1 wants to do to us this morning on the very first day of 2017. Is to remind us that those who trust in God, who trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, should delight in His Word, follow His counsel, delight in His authority over our lives, and that this is what yields to a fruitful life. In all that He does, He prospers. There is fruit and evidence of life in this individual. And it's contrasted in verse 4. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. One of the things I love about the Psalms is they give us pictures, don't they? They already give us a picture. In fact, I had a picture just up on the screen a little while ago of that tractor with a big grain cart. And in the harvest time, if you ever watched a combine go through, and it goes and it picks up the grain, and all the engineering in a combine, it's so many moving parts, and it's amazing to me every time I think about how many moving parts that are in this machine and how it can scoop up the grain and separate the kernels from the husk, and it shoots everything out the back, and as it goes out the back, there's all this light, fluffy stuff. That's the chaff, right? They did things differently back in the psalmist's day. They didn't have combines. They have the same basic concept, where you separate the grain from the chaff. And the grain you put in that big cart, you put it in a truck, thousands of pounds, and you take it to a place where they pay you lots of money for it. And in that, we see the contrast. The weight and the worth of the grain with the worthlessness of the chaff. Just spits out the back end, it sits there in the field, and it's worth nothing. And this is the picture of the contrast of those who trust in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ, and those who spurn God and spurn His Son, Jesus Christ. The righteous and the wicked. The wicked are likened unto chaff. The righteous are likened unto a tree that is richly nourished by a constant stream of water that grows up and withholds under the storms of life. The depiction of the believer. And then, if that weren't enough for us to show this contrast, the psalmist is going to close by talking about the destiny of the believer. The destiny of the believer. You see that in verses 5 and 6. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And so we've really shifted here. We're shifting now on the focus. We were on talking about the righteous, the one who is in that supreme state of well-being, who trusts in God. And now we're talking about the wicked. Because they're like chaff, verse 5, says that the ungodly will not be able to endure the final judgment. Where the righteous stand, the ungodly will not stand. There will be a sifting day that is to come. And there is a contrast between those who trust in God and those who do not. And the ungodly, verse 6 says, the way of the wicked will perish. And it's contrasted with this fact that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. This is good news for you and for me, because the Lord does not let any of those who trust in Him fall to the ground. Turn with me back to Nahum 1:7. Nahum 1:7, in a sort of an oasis of a passage of an oracle of judgment, verse 7 stands out. It says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in Him." So for Nahum, in this context of judgment, he is assured that those whom God saves, He will preserve to the final day. There's an important parallel, again, for us in Matthew chapter 7. I won't turn there. But the key point of Matthew chapter 7 and the key point for Psalm 1 here is that the most important thing is that the Lord knows you. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus referring to those who say to Him, "Lord, Lord, did I not do this and this in Your name?" And He says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so the critical feature for us as we look at Psalm 1, as we enter the Psalter, and we think about the beginning of this year, is the very first thing, is that the Lord know us. Do we know His Son? Do we trust in the saving grace of Jesus Christ? Do we know Him? Do we delight in His revelation of Himself? And if so, that can assure us those who listen to the counsel of His Word assures us of an inner stability. A life that trusts in God can find and survive the storms of life. And so, to put this in New Testament context, if you are in Christ, so you've been saved by the grace of God in His Son Jesus Christ, then you are a partaker of the new covenant. And if you are a partaker of the new covenant, then you have the delight of all of the revelation of God, all of the counsel of God that can inform your pattern of living, inform your life, and you can be assured that as the psalmist here contrasts the unbeliever and the believer, that if you trust in God and in His promises, that you will find in the path of obedience to His Word stability and joy and delight. Now, those may not always be the case. You may not always delight in the hard things that the Lord grants. But what it does is it reminds us here that as the voices that vie for your attention, that want to dictate how you live, Psalm 1 reminds us that the only voice to listen to that can assure us of our eternal destiny is the voice of God in His Word, the voice of His Son, Jesus Christ, who promises to us His grace to those who come to Him. So in 2017, you have the opportunity, and I have the opportunity, to commit again to living and to walking according to the counsel, not of the wicked, but of the Lord and of His Word. And I pray that Faith Bible Church will continue to follow in the pathway of obedience, as according to Psalm 1, and to trust in God and in His Word.